This is Jennifer Hunt with Doreen Harris on the 9th of July 2014 at her home in Lowestoft, Suffolk. Doreen, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Doreen Harris and I'm getting very ancient now. This is being done at my home.
And can you tell me what your earliest memories of WVS are?
My very earliest memories of when they were WVS. I first came across them when I was travelling during the war, and these lovely ladies were on the railway stations with their, and it really was tea and comfort because we were very young and they were always there with a smile and, "Are you okay, dear?" And so that was my very earliest memory.
And why did you join WVS in 1958?
Well, my son was getting into his early teens, and I was at a little do with some neighbours, and there was a lady there who was from WVS, and I got talking to her and said how I remembered them, and she said, "Well, you must come and join us," and sent me to this lady who was, I think they were centre organisers, if memory serves me well then, who was a lovely lady, but looked me up and down and says, "Oh, we've got nothing glamorous for you." I had to explain that my memories of WRVS and WVS were, you know, being doers. And that was when she said, "Well, they do need help at the clothing store in Norwich." And that was how I came to start there. That was my first job.
And what did you know about the organisation before you joined?
Not a great deal, because they hadn't... Well, they had been formed, of course, some time by then. But I didn't know an awful lot. I was aware of them. And as I say, I fondly remember them from on the station, but that was all I could sort of remember.
And when you joined in 1958, what was your opinion of WVS then?
I loved it from the moment I got in until the moment I left, which was a long while after. I've met so many interesting people, and I loved the variety of the work that we did.
And can you tell me about your role in the County Clothing Store?
County Clothing Store, I was just one of the helpers, and it was rather fun because when I first went, they were all older ladies, but absolutely lovely. And then along came a younger member who was about my age, and we sort of paired up and did all the clothing and sorting it out. And of course in those days we used to send bales of clothing overseas, and we used to have to, if it said 100 jackets had got to be, it had to be 100, not 99 or 101. The idea was then when it got the other side it was coded, and the people who had to deal with it overseas knew exactly what was in the bales. And that I remember vividly. Also sorting shoes, which we had to do, as you can imagine, all sorts of different shapes and sizes. And then, you know, everything had to be looked at when it came in, because, as you can imagine, some of it was not fit. But we had this lovely saying at the clothing store, and it was always, "Not on myself, not on my shelf," meaning that if we wouldn't wear it, we wouldn't give it to anybody else. So the standards were quite high, really. So it was fun. It was a fun job to do.
And what was a typical day at the clothing store like?
Clothing? Well, really, just I've said, you'd go in and whatever. Usually, the time we'd go in once a week, most of us, There'd be parcels that had got to be unpacked that had come in and sorted out to children's and ladies and men's, and then put on the various shelves into sizes. So it was a bit like shopkeeping, I suppose, in a way. But yes, it was, and it was always busy. And then the county clothing organiser used to have people come with their notes from social service, probation, all the officials, to say, could you help Mr. So-and-so and her children? They need some clothing. And most of the people were very, very grateful that came to us. And that was quite interesting. But we did have this lovely man who came on one occasion. He said he wanted a suit. Well, we hadn't got a suit, so he was offered a jacket and trousers. And he said, oh, but I can't have that. I've got to go to my daughter's cheese and wine, which we rather felt he was perhaps not a very worthy gentleman. But we had to send him off with the jacket and trousers. As you can see, it had its funny times.
And how would you describe the building that the clothing store is in?
The building, you know, it was at the back of the cathedral in Norwich, and it was quite a big store with sort of several rooms and a little office for the county clothing organiser to interview people in. And yes, it was a nice place to work in.
And what can you tell me about the other volunteers you worked with in the clothing store?
Well, they were lovely. Yes, they really were. Most of them were older than Joan and I, but they taught us a lot, you know, and were great fun, always laughing. And we all used to take our lunch in, and we'd sit and do the crossword puzzle over the lunchtime. But they were lovely. All the people I met were lovely.
And you've already told me a few stories about the people who used to come in the clothing store, but who else received clothing from WBS?
Well, it was anybody that had been sent to us by any of the services, social services, probation, children's officers, if they were dealing with a family and the children hadn't perhaps got some nice clothes. But they all had to have a note from somebody in authority. They couldn't just come and say, I want a new coat, and be given one. It was all done under the authority of somebody else. Yes.
And do you have any other memories of your time in the clothing store?
Not in the clothing. It was a long, long while ago, yes. Just that they were fond memories and I enjoyed it, yes.
And then you went on to be County Secretary. In Norfolk.
Yes.
What can you tell me about your role as County Secretary?
Well, it was to help the organiser, who was this younger lady that I worked with in clothing. Just before I left clothing, she'd been asked to take over as county organiser. And not long afterwards, the secretary that was already there was leaving. And she rang me and said, would I be interested? And I said, well, I absolutely love it, you know. And so she spoke to headquarters, and that was how I began. And then, because Joan and I were such friends, we did so much of the work together. And if she was going out to see somebody, she'd take me with her. Or if she couldn't go to see any of the members, she'd send me and she'd go somewhere else. So that was how I came to know the county so well, in meeting people like that.
And what are your earliest memories of being County Secretary?
I don't know, really. I think I was probably a bit amazed at how much it covers, because everything came into that office from the whole of Norfolk. Norfolk's quite a big county. But there was always something different every day. And I remember as having what is called, or used to call, a day book.
Mm.
So that whatever query came in, you had to do it in the day book and put what was done and the action taken. That I do remember very well. And just so much. I can honestly say whatever it was that I always enjoyed it. I liked people, and I think that WRBS was just great for people who enjoy being with people. And they all seemed to sort of have the same sort of thoughts, or the majority of them, not all, couldn't say all. But you'd have sometimes somebody who came and think, well, this is not for me. Some people thought it was hard work, but you don't do a volunteer job and expect to sit in an easy chair, do you?
And can you tell me about the county office?
County office. When I first went there, it was down in Thorpe, just outside Norwich. And, excuse me, we were on the second floor. We had two rooms up there. And there was something to do with the AA, I think, on the bottom floor. And they were absolutely lovely. They used to hear us coming in the morning, and they'd have a cup of tea ready for us, which started the day well. And we also had the clothing store there at that time. And then we had to move from there and went into this lovely old house in Tombland in Norwich, quite near the Cathedral Gate, and that was a lovely place to be. And we had most of that building we took over, and had quite a, the clothing store was able to expand through being in there. And in that place we also had South Norfolk and Norfolk, Norwich City as it was then, with the county organised, used to work from there. So there were quite a lot of us together there. But it was a lovely building to work in.
And how did you feel about your role as County Secretary?
I loved it. I really did. I know I keep saying this, which sounds silly. You can tell I've always been an enthusiast of it. And I did, because I enjoyed going out to different places and meeting people. And hopefully being able to help if they had any worries or queries. And yes, I can honestly say I did thoroughly enjoy it. And because the county organiser, Joan, she used to go way up to Scotland to see her family up there during the summer. And so I was sort of unofficially her deputy, so that meant even more going about. But that I enjoyed, travelling over Norfolk. Norfolk's a lovely county to travel in.
And you've mentioned the working with the county organiser. Mm-hmm. Who else did you work with in the county?
Well, we had other people that were in the office to do sort of filing and just to help with general office work. That's really what it was. Not a great many of us, as I seem to think. Two or three other than myself and the county organiser, I think. But we always had plenty to do. And, of course, people would come, if they wanted to know about WRBS, they would be sent to the county office to hear about it. So we always had plenty of literature to give out.
And in Blue to Green, which you wrote and gave a copy to the archive, you wrote about that there was some opposition to the changes you and the county organiser wanted
when
to make.
When it came to changing from centres to counties, districts, sorry, to counties, a lot of the ladies that we had as centre organisers were, by that time, most of them had joined in the war or just after the war, and they were lovely, but they were getting elderly. and they resented change. And it didn't matter how often we said, well, it's not our ruling, it comes from headquarters. And I don't think they believed us, and it did cause a bit of ill feeling until we could, I think in the end, to try and settle things, we got them all together as a meeting and got somebody from the regional office to come to back us up over this. And so we were all part of the best of friends. And so that was, that way, you were able to get younger people coming along. And it all ended happily in the end, but it did cause a few headaches because they had done so much and we didn't want to tread on toes and make them feel awkward. But it was just a ruling that came from above, so.
And that was when it went from being
centres
to districts in 1974. And how did you feel about that change?
Well, we welcomed it because we were getting new people in and they'd got more of an open mind. It can happen if you're too long in a job that you do it your way and you don't want to change. And really, it was through that I vowed that was never going to happen to me. I would go before I was pushed. And you know, it was just wonderful because we got these new district organisers and used to have regular meetings for them to keep them up to track with all that was going on. And then we would go and visit them if they had their little meetings, which again, it's a lovely thing to do.
And what services was WVS and WRVS providing in Norfolk at the time?
Well, all the usual things. We actually, in Norfolk, we did start quite a few things ourselves that hadn't been, they'd been sort of skittered over, such as children's holidays. We suddenly sort of heard from social services that there were children in London that needed holidays. You know, they didn't know anything about the seaside or anything else. And so we had to advertise for hostesses to come see us so that we could vet them, explain what we wanted, that we couldn't say how well-behaved the children were or anything. But it would be a tremendous help if they could give a child a holiday, usually for a week it was. And that was also an eye-opener. But the children, we didn't have any problems, and we did, I think I mentioned in the writing, that we had this lovely farmer's wife, Aylsham Way, and she had twin girls from the time they were about 5 years old that always wanted to come back and see her, and they left and got jobs, but they came back to see her on their 21st birthday, which was lovely. She kept in touch with them right through, so that was lovely too. Well, then after a while we suddenly heard from our own social services that there were children in Norfolk that had never seen the sea, which we could hardly believe because we're surrounded by water, aren't we? And so we said, well, you know, charity begins at home. We'd better do something about this. And so we went from having so many from London and, you know, other districts down to more local. They worked in the same way and was quite good. So that was a nice thing to do because usually the parents were very grateful. Some of the poor children arrived with very poorly clothing, so again the clothing store came into its own and we fitted them out for nice little things they could have and take back with them. So that was good, and that grew, and you know, we were doing sort of quite a big job with that, which was nice, nice things to do.
And Was there anything else Norfolk was involved with?
Anything, sorry?
Anything else that Norfolk was in? So hospitals or...
Norfolk, yes, hospitals. We started the hospital, rather Joan did. I wasn't quite so involved with that, apart from the paperwork involved. The hospital, you know, we had the hospital shops. But before that, we'd always had people visiting folks in hospital. We'd perhaps hear from one of the village reps that somebody was in hospital and nobody to go and visit them. Could we send somebody? So we used to get somebody who was near and say, would you mind going to see this lady? It's horrible to be in a hospital and have no visitors. And a lot of friendships grew out of that. We got the people to go. And then we also did the flowers in hospital, because they don't have them now, do they?
No.
But our ladies used to go in and arrange the flowers, take out the dead ones, give them, you know, water, which was nice even for it. And they all enjoyed going doing that. And then we also had a trolley shop around the wards, you know, something like this, and with chocolates and drinks and those sort of things, which did quite well too. And again, people were pleased to see us because it was somebody to talk to. Yeah. I can't think of a home from a hospital. That was another thing we did. That if somebody was coming out of the hospital and we were told, well, you know, she's going to be alone, and could somebody just go and see her? And so that, once the lady or gentleman was at home, we would send somebody to see them and sort of say, well, can we get you a library book or something like that, and do any shopping that was wanted, and just generally make sure that they were okay. It was another pair of eyes, wasn't it?
And also when you were county secretary, they celebrated the 25th. Anniversary.
Yes, we did.
And how did you celebrate it in?
In Norwich, Lady Reading came down to see us, and there's a picture in her scrapbook. And I think we were in the somewhere in Norwich, can't remember the name of the hall we were at, but it was lovely, and of course everybody, all the members from Norfolk were invited, and of course Lady Reading was a wonderful speaker and a wonderful sense of humour she had, and that was good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I always say that was the first time I saw WVS with its hair down and sort of enjoying myself. That was very nice. It's always lovely. It makes you feel very proud when you see all these ladies. That we didn't have too many gentlemen then, but it came later.
And how did you feel when WVS became the Women's Royal Voluntary Service in 1966?
Well, it was quite fun. We got lots of names, because you probably know or have heard that WVS was known as Women of Various Sizes.
I didn't actually, I haven't heard that one.
Yes. And then when it came to WRVS, you might need to cut this out, Jenny, it got known as Widows, Rangy Virgins, and Spinsters. Better not tell people that. But we did get, well, are you the Women's Rural Voluntary Service? No. And that was quite fun. But wearing the uniform, I've been just gone to that, and my days working in the city, was wonderful, because the uniform was instantly recognised, and two or three times I had both men and women older come and say, I must shake your hand and thank you for all that you did for my family during the Blitz, something like that. And I said, well, that was lovely, thank you. I personally wasn't there, but I would pass the message on. And that gave you a lovely glow, yes, to know you into something that had that lovely reputation.
And you just mentioned your uniform there. What did your uniform look like?
At first, we had the tweed. Spinach and beetroot, I think we referred to, because we had this beetrooty colour blouse. And of course, when I first joined, we had the brimmed hats, which were rather nice, and just plain skirts, and tabards, of course, if we were going out on emergencies or anything. And yes, it was nice. And we had our badge. You've seen the big WVS yes. badge, haven't you? Which was good. I've still got mine. And, yes, it was, I always enjoyed wearing uniform. Although my brood son, when he first saw me, he set up the Boy Scouts. But, no, it was good, and it opened a tremendous amount of doors. It really did. If I went anywhere in uniform, I got away with things I wouldn't if I'd gone in just civvies. So, yes, it was. I always enjoyed it. Yes, and then, as you probably know, we got the suits that were a nicer material, weren't quite so scratchy as the old ones. And again, that was quite nice. It was just the skirt and jacket. And we went into the very tight hat then. Some of us liked and some of us didn't, but we all got used to it in the end. So that was quite a nice uniform to have. Yeah.
And also when you were a county secretary, in 1971, Lady Reading died. Did you notice a change to the organisation after her death?
I think we missed her to a certain extent, those of, and especially those of us that had met her. But I don't remember that we noticed a tremendous change. We had very good chairmen who came after her. I can't remember the sequence of it. You probably have got details of that somewhere. But they were all good, and we used to have them down. When they could come, we'd call the county meeting and have them come, which was always good for the members to meet somebody from headquarters. And they were always good and always very supportive to us on the ground. So I didn't notice any tremendous difference.
No.
But I'm sure the people at headquarters did find a big difference, because she was a character.
And then in 1974, you became a district organiser for Norfolk. How did you become district organiser?
Well, it was because the county organiser, Joan, that I'd worked with for 11 years, she decided she wanted to change and she was going to leave. Well, I didn't want to leave, but I felt that they'd have to get a new county organiser. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't want to be landed with me. She'd want to pick her own secretary, was the way I looked at it. And so the regional organiser came down and said, well, I'm glad you're not resigning too. What can we do with you? So I rather cheekily said, well, I'd like to look after North Norfolk. I knew it through my work in the office. I knew they hadn't had an organised district officer for some time. Oh, well, she says, that sounded a good idea. You better give it a go. And because at that time I was living in North Norfolk anyway, and I worked from home at first. I'd ask if I could have an office, if I could find an office, and was told, prove the work's there, and we'll see about it. So I worked for several months at home, which in a small bungalow, you know, the family wasn't that easy. But I began to get people interested and approached them again, and they said, yes, okay, look for one. And so I found a little office in North Walsham, which was lovely, and so a little team of us went there. And North Norfolk is always my favourite district. And it was lovely because I went right round the coast. Mm. And again, we managed to find village reps and local organisers, and that was nice. It was lovely, and I did start a lot of work there because not very much had been done. And that was another place where there was one particular little town on the coast where they had an awful lot of older ladies who'd been in a long while, and they did not like somebody new coming in. But we won them round in the end, and that was a very happy time. That little office was good. We enjoyed being there. And it was easy access to the county.
Yeah. And how would you describe the office you worked in?
That was when we first went there. We had just one room. I think it was over a bank, something like that, in North Wales. I know we were on the first floor, and Citizens Advice was one room. We had another little room, and then there was a little room that was owned by an estate agent and wasn't used very often. And as we sort of grew, I asked that, because Chappie, who worked at the estate agent, was a sailing friend of ours. So I said, look, you don't do very much in your office. Can we use it? Yes, he said, of course you can. Any letters that come, just readdress them, please, and you can have it, which is what we did. Yeah. And eventually they wanted to give it up, and headquarters took it over. So we had, they're quite small rooms, but they're nice. It meant that if I wanted to have anybody in to talk to, you got a little bit of privacy. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice building to be in. Mm-hmm.
And what WRVS services were you providing in North Norfolk?
The same thing as all over the county that had been done from county office on a small scale to a certain extent. And because I'd been so long in the county office, most of the people I knew anyway, which was a great help. So, yes, it was a very happy time there. Lovely people I met. And we had, in the same way, we had district meetings.
Yes.
And we used to ask the new county organisers and the people from the county. And regional office used to come and see us. Mm-hmm. So it was, the work was much the same as it was that I'd been doing, really, from the county office.
And what happened at the district meetings that you used to have?
The district meetings, well, the idea was really to get them up to speed with what was going on, and really to give them a little encouragement and tell them that whatever problems they had, we were there. And the lovely thing was, if the district organiser couldn't solve them, there was always somebody higher up the line that you could go to. And meetings, I always felt, were a good way of keeping people together. Otherwise, they got isolated and thought nobody bothered what they were doing or if they were doing it well or not. And so that was good. And they all seemed to enjoy it. When I first went to North Norfolk, I called a meeting simply to introduce myself to the members and thought it would be a one-off. But so many people either wrote to me and rang me up and said, Doreen, I do hope you're going to have these meetings regularly. I said, well, if you're willing, we can. And so we used to have one, just a big district meeting once a year.
And you're also involved, you had emergency teams.
Yes,
in North Norfolk as well.
Yes.
Can you tell me about those?
Well, because being on the coast, we did get call-outs. We had to have emergency training with how to build a fire out of bricks. And again, we had people from headquarters come to do this. And that was quite fun. We used to wear the orange tabards and learn how to cook and how to set up a rest centre. And that people were made homeless, much as today with the floods and surges that we've had. And it was quite good to learn. And we were told how if we did get a call out, it would be from the police, the inspector of police. And we were always told it would be very formal the way they would call us out. But I was called out when the sea came through at Walcott. And I'd known the police because we'd had them come to our meeting sometimes and worked with them. And this lovely inspector rang me up and says, "Mrs. Harris, my boys are down on the coast and they are so cold and miserable. And can you help?" This was about 9 o'clock in the evening. I said, "Well, we must do something about that, mustn't we?" So I said, "Okay, we'll be there. Teamplus will be there as soon as possible." So I gathered up the ladies with the team. We got the urn and down we went to Walcott. And it was rather strange because police were pretty looked after.
Yes.
But we went into the village hall and they had wisely got a group of local ladies were looking after. And at first, I think they thought we'd come to interfere. We said, "No, we just want to make you sure you're all right." And we said, "Have you got enough blankets? Because if not, we've got some we can let you have." "Yes," they said, that's fine. So we said, "Okay, we'll leave you to it. You know where we are if you want us." And then we went on and fed and watered the police.
Yes.
So that was, we did have one or two little call-outs, but that's the one I remember mostly.
And how did you feel about being called in the middle of the night?
No problem. We knew it was likely to happen, and I'd warned my family, so I think my husband worried slightly about me taking a car down to the coast with the storm raging, but he was very, very good about it. He knew how much I enjoyed it. So that was no problem, and the girls were absolutely wonderful. I'd just ring them up and say, "We've got an emergency." And of course they'd been trained for it, so they knew you don't get emergency during the day, do you? They always come at the worst time.
And what did you used to take with you to an emergency?
We always had the inevitable urn and tea and coffee. And we, in those days, we used to have arrangements with local shops so that they would open up for us any time, day or night, to let us have bread and things to make sandwiches, which is what we used to do. But it was mainly drinks, hot drinks, that they wanted. So, but well, some of the girls would say, "I've got some spare cakes, I'll bring them with me." So WRPS was always resourceful.
And also, during that time, you celebrated the 40th anniversary.
40th, and we all went up to St Paul's, which again was a wonderful experience. And I think I said, "See that sea of green in that lovely place," because I love St Paul's. And it was great, it really was great. It caused a lot of interest when we stepped outside. People didn't really know, some of them, who we were. And we had a party of German people were near, and they sent their courier over to ask what was going on and who were those ladies in those green dresses. So we had to tell him. They were wonderful. They all gave us a wave. And, but it was a lovely service, and it was great to be there and absolutely full of St Paul's, which was something.
And did any of the royal family attend the
Yes, I think the Queen Mother was there with that one. I think it was that one. And of course we had people from Cabinet. The, Douglas Hume, I remember, was one who came. And other dignitaries from, you know, around about London came. And yes, it was a big thing. So that was great. Nice men did that one too.
And again from your blue to green, and you said before that your green uniform opened many doors that otherwise would remain closed. Why?
Why? Because the WPS and WRPS were very well respected, and of course of what they did with helping people, and people remembered that, and that I'm sure is why I always said I got away with things in uniform that I probably wouldn't have done otherwise. But it was good. It was so well respected. Yeah.
And then in 1985, you moved to being South Norfolk District Organiser. Why was that?
Well, because I was getting older, but my husband had died, and I wasn't sure that I could stay in North Norfolk. I absolutely loved it, but it had quite a lot of ground that I didn't think I could manage. And so fortunately I found a doctor's wife, young girl, that had been with us when I was in North Norfolk, and I persuaded her to take over from me and said, you know, I'll always be there if you want any advice. Come and work with me before I go. Which she did, and I always laughed and say, it took quite a long while, because Heather kept saying, oh no, I couldn't do that. And I said, but you could do it. And anyway, she always said, I finally wore her down.
Yeah.
And she turned out to be a very good organiser. And so it was then South Norfolk at that time, the organiser from there had retired, and they wanted somebody there. So I said, okay. And I was, at that time, I was living more that way. So took over South Norfolk. Mm-hmm. Very different people, South Norfolk to North Norfolk. But still very good. The work was interesting.
Mm-hmm. And how were the people different from North Norfolk? And
I don't know. It's probably with all counties, it's different. You find they're different in their outlook over things. But it was a nice difference, yeah. You know. You just had to sort of get used to things. And, of course, they had a little office in Dis with a local organiser. And so I used to go down there quite a lot. But we had the district office was in Toonland, where I had been county secretary. We had one of the rooms there as, for South Norfolk district office. Then eventually I managed to open a little office in Wyndham and get a few people there. It's always a great help if you can get somebody in charge, and it's easy to keep an eye, and they can come to the organiser if there's any problem.
And can you tell me about the other volunteers you worked with in South Norfolk?
Yes, they were, again, volunteers in WPS, much the same wherever you go. And yes, they, again, were lovely ladies and had been rather a long while with the local organiser and thought that she should be in charge of everything. And, you know, here was this woman coming and doing different things. But they were fine. You know, I, again, the famous meetings, had meetings so that I could talk to them and talk to them individually if there were any problems, which always makes a great difference, as you can tell them.
That's fine. And also, how did you increase the WRBS's role in the district?
Advertising. Word of mouth, you know, I'd always sort of say if I was giving a membership talk, well, you know, if you enjoy it, tell your friends you enjoy it. We can always do with new members. If they can only give us half a day, a week, it all makes a big difference. And it grows like that a lot by word of mouth, because I think if people see you're enjoying it, they will think, well, it can't be that bad. And you say, well, come and give it a try. If you find you don't like it, you know, you're not obliged to stay. But they mostly did, I'm pleased to say. Yes.
And what services were being provided by WRVS in South Norfolk?
Exactly the same, Jennifer. Yes, just the same. They had meals on wheels that were already there, and they had a kitchen that the meals were served from. And again, they had an emergency team, and all the same things, because all our work was all over the county, really. So it's much the same. It was more or less a repeat of what I'd been doing in North Norfolk.
And you mentioned Meals on Wheels. Was it, how many rounds were people doing at that time?
In South Norfolk, I couldn't honestly tell you. I know that when I was in the county office, we'd got it to nearly 100 rounds all over Norfolk, which was quite a lot, but that was spread over. But I honestly couldn't tell you how many. There were quite a few, because Meals on Wheels was always a big thing with us, wasn't it? And we used to tell the people who went on Meals on Wheels, it's twofold, because you go in, if there's anything wrong, you can get help or send somebody in. And I helped out on several occasions with doing Meals on Wheels myself. And it was just wonderful to see how grateful people were. And you knew that we were probably the first people they'd seen since we were there the last time. Mm-hmm. And you always had to make time for a little chat, because I always felt it would be awful just to go in, dish out the meal and rush out again. Because we had, do you know, have heard of the hot locks?
Yes.
Yes, you know the hot locks. And of course it did keep them warm. And we used to make sure, you say, don't just dump it on the plate. Mm-hmm. Get a spoon and do it nicely so they enjoy it. So you learn a lot.
And were you just providing hot meals, or did you start providing the frozen meals as well?
No, not during my time, we weren't into frozen foods, no. We used to get the meals from all sorts of different places. Hotels would sometimes do it. Schools were very good. But of course, life was much easier in those days than it is today, because we'd have somebody say we could do with Meals on Wheels in our village, and we'd get on to social services and they'd say, okay, I think we know a school that can do it, and it was as easy as that. But no, we weren't into fruit. This was a long time ago.
And were you still providing the children's holidays?
Yes, we still had some go from there. Got the hostesses from there in the same way. Yes, yes. And the hospitals, because they were general hospitals, and we had the trolleys go down in the little district hospitals they were then, weren't they? And yes, all the same sort of things, I'm pleased to say.
And how did you celebrate the 50th of the Golden Anniversary?
50th, that was when we went to, remind me who said it before, the hall, Westminster Hall.
Westminster Abbey.
That's right. And yes, that again was lovely, and we were so pleased because our county organiser then was a very young, very pretty girl, and she was asked to be one of the flag bearers. There's a title, I can't remember what it is. And so we were very proud of her at that time. And again, it was just wonderful to see all the WRVS uniforms there. Yes, lots of happy memories of these events. When it came to the 40th, I must tell you, because it always amused me, several have said, why are we celebrating the 40th? It's usually the 50th. And we were told, well, a lot of you might not be alive by the time we get to 50. Quite reassuring, wasn't it? But That's the sick humour that WRVS had.
And also in 1989 you went to the Buckingham Palace garden party. How did it feel to attend
the
Buckingham Palace garden party?
Oh yes, I did. That was wonderful. Yes, that came right out of the blue. And it was through WRVS, of course, that I'd been asked to go. And I forget how many, just a few of us went up. We had to meet in London, and we then went in convoy with the WRVS cars. We had to wear uniform, of course. We didn't have fancy hats and things, so we caused a bit of a stir, as you can imagine. But it was wonderful. It really was. Unfortunately, it was a lovely day, and the grounds looked beautiful, and we saw the Queen and the Duke. Mm-hmm. And we were very thrilled because the Duke spotted us and said something to the Queen, and she looked over and gave us her little wave, which we sort of stood 6 feet tall, as you can imagine. Yes, it was lovely. It was great. Then, of course, we had... are you interested in this?
Yes. Yeah.
We had this journey, because it was a rail strike on, and that was why I didn't think I'd get there, and... this young county organiser said, I'll get you there if I have to march you there. And so she was talking to other chauffeurs outside while we were there. And of course, when we came to go home, London was all locked, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. It took us about 6 hours to get home. But just a WRVS car, again, everybody winding down their windows. Have you got your tea urn on? We could have sold loads and loads, or given loads and loads of tea if we'd had it. So it was quite fun. We were very, very tired by the time Cathy and I got home. But again, it was wonderful. Yes, it really was. Thank you.
And also, you received your British Empire Medal?
Yes,
well.
I did. Thank you.
How did you feel about that?
Well, that is wonderful, because that's all very secret, and I just wish my dear husband had been alive, but my son was very proud of me. You hear, first of all, you get a letter to say, would you be willing to accept it? But it's high secret, you mustn't tell anybody. But I broke the rules slightly. My mum was very old, and I thought I couldn't bear for her to go and not know. And I knew mum could keep a big secret. So I said, this must not go any further. You know it, won't you? So, and so I told her, but I didn't tell anybody else. And so it was a wonderful thing. And I was very humbled to have it, because it's not... you alone that does the work. I mean, I couldn't have done what I did in WRVS without all these lovely people around me. But it was very special, and they gave me a wonderful due. I went to County Hall, and the Lord Lieutenant came and presented it. And there were also two lovely lifeboatmen there as well, having theirs at the same time. And then the girls had put on a wonderful lunch in the two-manned office for us. So it was a very happy day, very happy day. Thank you.
And how did they give you your medal?
The Lord Lieutenant, the regional office, and Nancy Abraham, I expect you've heard Nancy's name, and she had to write a, you call it a citation, you know, about what I'd done and one thing or another, and gave it, the Lord Lieutenant had to read that, and then he just pinned it on. You had to look close, you pinned it on. Very proud. And it's a lovely medal, because they put your name round the edge, and they didn't just put Doreen Harris, they put Doreen Mrs. Harris, which I thought was lovely, really. It's a very pretty medal. I'm very proud to wear the ribbon of that, you know. But, as I say, I couldn't have done it without a lot of help.
And then you were also a acting training officer.
Yes, it was just before I retired. I felt the time was coming. I always said I had trouble with older people. And, you know, I just felt that you should step aside if you can get younger people to come and take over, because you perhaps don't have the energy. Fortunately, at that time, I still did have plenty of energy. But I felt the time was right. But they asked me to do the acting organiser, training organiser for a time. And that was much like going out and giving a membership talk, you know, and making sure they were right. So I did that for a time before I retired. Yeah. Reluctantly in the end, but I'd had over 30 years, so.
And how would you describe the role of acting training officer? What sort of things were you training?
Well, it is really to make the people, the members all over the county aware of the work that WRVS did and how it functioned, you know, because a lot of people come into WRVS. I found after, or just before I retired, I went to a meeting and a luncheon in Yarmouth, which of course is Norfolk, and sat next to two lovely ladies who told me they worked at the hospital shop. And I asked them something else and discovered in the conversation they knew nothing about WRVS at all. And I always laugh and say I finished their lunch giving them a membership talk, but they were lovely and they said, "We'd no idea WRVS did as much as that," which saddened me. They were working for us, but nobody had given them a membership talk. So, as you can see, I'm a great talker.
And did you find there were more people like that? Went towards the end of, and before you retired, did you find there were more people coming to the organisation like that who didn't know anything?
They were, yes, because this is why we used to have, I'm sure you've heard of the membership talks we used to have, and that was wonderful because you got a little group of new members and had them together in the office and give them a coffee and just go through everything as we've gone through this morning and telling them about the things that we do and say if there's any particular aspect that you're interested in, let's work on that. And they were valuable, I think, because otherwise you're working at your little job, and it's a big organisation. You need to know what's going on elsewhere, don't you?
And how did you train volunteers? Was it just talks?
Just talks, yes, just talks, yes.
And did you have any other roles in WRVS at this time?
No.
No.
No. That was the last one. My swan song.
And why did you decide to retire from WRVS in 1990?
Well, it's simply that I was getting older. And as I said, I felt that younger people should be encouraged to come in. And It struck me that this was needed during the latter part of the time I was there, and I used to work from Toomland again with the training business, and the girls in another office would have a query and somebody would always say, "Go and ask Doreen, she'll know." And I used to say, "Yes, I do, but you should know that." And that's why I felt that it was necessary somebody else to come along and know what was going on. So, just sheer age. I think at that time I was probably late 60s. We were supposed to retire at 65, which I felt was good. A lot of organisers protested against that. But I said, well, if we don't retire, it's not giving somebody else younger to come, is it? And I just wanted somebody to come after me and enjoy it as much as I had.
And did you find that we were still getting the younger members coming
in
at that time?
Yes, they were. I think, as in all things, it is a variety. And, of course, what it's like now, I don't know. It's a long while since I retired. But at that time, yes, we were getting younger members.
And so between 1958 and 1990, how did your opinion of the organisation change?
Never changed. I loved it from the minute I went in. I liked what it stood for. I liked the way it helped people and always managed to get over a problem. And there was always a laugh. We used to say we took our work seriously, but never ourselves. And I think that was something that was good to learn, because we did laugh a lot. Otherwise, you'd cry at some of the things, you know.
And did you, a lot of other people have said to me, they found that it was, they enjoyed WRVS because of the camaraderie.
Exactly. You always got that. Wherever you went, the minute you mentioned you were in WRVS, oh, I used to do that in the part of the country or something. Yes, like any service, there was this comradeship, which was just wonderful.
Yeah. And apart from administrative changes in 1974 when it became district in counties and centres, were there any other changes to the organisation?
Not that I can think of. We had several changes of chairman, excuse me, of course, which is inevitable over that length of time. But the principles were the same, and I do hope they're the same today. I know nothing about it since we lost the W.
And so you said you don't really know much about the organisation apart from dropping the W.
Except that I know that they say they dropped the W because the men came, but we always had men. I had men working on Meals and Wheels in emergencies all along. Probably they have more now. But then times change, don't they? And I'm very old now.
So do you think they should have kept the W to keep it women's role?
Well, this is a personal opinion. I think they should, and I think it was a big mistake when they changed the uniform, because nobody ever recognised that new uniform. But the green uniform, we were known as the ladies in green, and it was recognised up and down the country. But that is a personal opinion, and people would say, well, I'm out of date, which I probably am. But we all have our personal opinions, don't we?
Yes, because now we have gone back to the green and red.
Have you?
Yes, with the change of name, we've gone back to the green and red.
Oh, good, good. Because the men used to have a tie that they wore.
And where would you say that Royal Voluntary Service is now place in society is today?
I just have no idea, love. When there's a disaster or anything, like when we had a big surge here, last December, and I watched the local news, and I couldn't help but notice not a sign of RVS as it is now, WRVS. You'd never have had an emergency without WRVS was mentioned and being there. But that is changing time.
And what would you say, or what would you like the future to be for Royal Voluntary Service?
I honestly couldn't say, because you can't go back.
No.
And because I'm old, I suppose, I tend to think that it was great. I can only say from my personal point of view, I loved it, and the way it was working then, it worked, and we had a very large membership. I don't know what the membership is today because I don't hear anything about it. So, and unfortunately, a lot of my contemporaries have now joined the big white cloud in the sky.
And what is your fondest memory of your time with WVS or WRVS?
My fondest? That's very difficult. Possibly sort of when I first received my long service medal, and then was very proud. I think we'd had to do then, that was after 15 years. And then I think if we'd done another 7 years, we got a little rosette. Mm-hmm. I think those are the things that I fondly remember because they were very personal to me. Yeah. And of course, I remember the friends. Mm-hmm. I've made a lot of friends. And the girl who was county organised with me, I was friends with her until she died 2 or 3 years ago. We used to meet her and always talked about WRVS. She loved it as much as I did. Yeah. With all its faults and peculiarities.
And do you have anything else you'd like to share about your time at WRVS?
I don't think so, dear. I think you must be ears battered. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I told you I was a talker. No, I'm sure you can guess from this. It was something I was very fond of. As I say, I never regretted a minute. I enjoyed it from the time I went in to the day I left, and was always interested in it, yes.
Well, thank you, Doreen, for talking to me today, and this will make a very good contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you.